This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Global pandemic continues to cause illness, claim lives, and impact the manner in which we live. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has today issued her most restrictive executive order. Her stay home, stay safe order dramatically limits public gatherings and further restricts public engagement in the effort to slow the spread of COVID-19. Just weeks ago, the Eastern Michigan University campus was bustling with students, professors, staff, classes, and activities. Today, it's largely silent. Joining us this morning to discuss the changing educational landscape is EMU President Dr. James Smith, and thank you for the time today. I do appreciate it.
David, my pleasure. I apologize for not being there in person, but obviously you understand why, and I think the listeners do as well.
I assume that you were probably working mostly from home these days.
I tried to come in a couple days a week. Last week I was in a little bit more than that, but yes, as much as I can. With televideo and other opportunities, I'm able to work here a good deal from home.
The changes have been daily, sometimes hourly, and EMU, like all other educational institutions, has had to adapt on the fly. With Governor Whitmer's most restrictive order issued yesterday in a stay home, stay safe directive, what are now considered the essential functions that will remain operational on campus?
Well, that's a great question, David. We're actually working on that and have all night long to define who are essential and do they fit the category. We've actually had to make some calls to Lansing. The general counsels have been very active in discussing their interpretation. So I would say if you look at the essential functions of keeping the university safe, obviously our DPS men and women are working at full staff. We have folks in the maintenance and custodial area that are essential because of what they do. Fire suppression comes to mind. Electrical folks that we have to have on campus. Our elevators and elevator techs, even though we have a small group on campus, we have to have an elevator tech as we're running elevators. So those are the kinds of things that we're working on and getting clarity around. Mike Valdez, our CFO, for example, has a number of folks that make sure people get paid on the proper pay cycle, and those people we're deeming as essential. So although the ball's a little up in the air, we're getting more clarity, and we're informing those employees like you, that we can't run a radio station without a morning host.
We will be here and glad to do so. Now, Eastern Michigan University added 80-hour sick leave for employees who either needed to self-quarantine or were required to stay home and not work. Those working in those essential functions, once defined, do still have to report. So I have two questions on that front. First, the governor's mandate is to run at least 3 weeks, and that's longer than the 80 hours would cover. So will that last week be unpaid for affected employees?
Well, my goal is always, and when I say mine, I'm talking about our entire executive cabinet, is to have our employees fully compensated. So we know we have a mechanism of those 80 hours that you mentioned, and now we're going to work around what those remaining 40 hours would look like. And we have collective bargaining agreements that we need to examine, but for the listening audience, I would say, and for our employees, I would say, know that we're going to do our level best. We have an answer. We think now through the 80-hour time period, it's our job to figure out that next week. And as you said, it's very rapidly moving. We didn't know what the governor's deadline would be. Governor in Ohio has a little different time frame. We were somewhat benchmarking against that and found to be incorrect. So we'll continue. We're meeting every day as an executive team to come to those answers.
And second question on that front, for those essential employees like our Department of Public Safety workers that stay and work and do not take time away because of the public health crisis, will they be able to keep that 80 hours or will they receive some sort of additional compensation?
That's all part of the discussion process. Obviously, we don't want to see those 80 hours go by the wayside because this is this is a virus that may be with us until early summer, even into the month of June. So we want to keep those hours available for people that do, for example, come in contact with someone who has a positive COVID-19 test and then would be rightly so at home for X number of days. We want those to be available to them not for the short term, but for the longer term as well.
This is 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith in a very fluid time. And Dr. Smith, I do want to talk about the mission of education. It really is the function. Instruction has moved online. What feedback are you getting from faculty, lecturers, and students on how that is going to this point?
I think what we're seeing is, and this is pretty unanimous, David, that it's a struggle for those of us who have not done it in the past. They're working very hard. I give absolute accolades to the faculty, full-time, part-time, that are really doing a heroic lifting. We have some students that say, you know, this class has a lot more embedded videos when we meet in person. You know, the video presentations are a little different. We have people that are learning to do those. We've put some training sessions together. Some students are finding that there's a reason they haven't taken online courses in the past. They don't particularly like them. So we're dealing with those as well. We got one to the Dean of Students the other day and says, I now know fully why I don't plan on doing this again. So we have literally discussions going on all sides of that question.
I have concerns for those students who are studying in science and health majors. How are they able to complete their lab studies? I mean, how can nursing students do their clinicals? Is that lack of hands-on in-person instruction going to impact their ability to get the training they need to do their professional function?
We certainly have classes, and I won't delve into the lab as much as I'll do one that I think's pretty easy for people to envision, sculpture. You know, if you don't have the ability to do sculpture work at home, say you need a blowtorch, those kinds of things, how are we going to be able to work with faculty? And we are. Faculty have said, look, I've got an idea to try this. I have an idea to try that. The clinicals we're looking at, can we roll those over into different terms? How can we look at some atypical clinicals? You may have seen yesterday we have 200 and some nursing students that have volunteered to work at St. Joe's for their drive-in clinic. Those will give them some experiential hours. So we're looking at every element that would work around those situations. And some dance, sculpture are the ones, lab courses, that really have been a challenge.
Now, EMU is offering some different grading options for students because of the ever-changing nature of the educational process, right?
Absolutely. We are extending the pass-fail option. We are not. We've gotten a lot of emails on this, David, so it's good to be able to articulate this on the radio. We are not forcing all pass-fail. That is going on around the country. We've heard from both faculty and students that for some students it's just not a tenable situation. But we are extending that. We're also extending the withdrawal period. Provost Longworth and her team have really dug into virtually every element of this to give students the opportunity, for example, to go pass-fail or to be able to move from what they thought would be always a traditional grade to that pass-fail option without forcing everyone to do it.
Now, for those students who have been living in dorms and trying to ride out the semester, that ride is fully coming to an end March 31st. The residential halls are fully closing. How many students is that going to impact?
Well, the number now goes down every day. We served about 70 meals yesterday. That's not completely descriptive, because as you know, we have apartment-style living over very close to the Convocation Center, and those Westview townhouses are the permanent residence for many of our graduate students. Some of our students that have timed out of foster care, for example, we are their year-round home, and those students who are in our MAGIC program, we're working with them. But mostly we think we will have full move-out on or before the 31st, and we're getting now to where that number is smaller and smaller. If we're serving 70 meals a day, we know some students who have left that haven't formally checked out, so we're in the process of calling them and saying, we see that you're not here, and you may come and pick up materials that you've left, or maybe you took everything with you and just didn't sign out your keys. So that number is a little fluid as well.
What of the international students who can't go home? How are they being taken care of?
Well, that's a list I should have added, or an entity I should have added to the list. International students as well. For example, Saudi Arabia has a no entry now for 10 to 12 days. So our students that even wanted to go home to Saudi Arabia could not. They cannot have an international flight coming into Jeddah or Riyadh. So we will deal with those students on a case-by-case basis. We may come to the point where we have all students in one or two halls, and that's something that we're honing in on more and more each day.
Will there be refunds for residential dorm costs and meal plans for those who did depart?
Again, the CFO has been working almost from the very beginning of this to figure out what those would be, and the answer is yes. There are all kinds of different configurations, as you know. We have some students that have partial grant and aid for their residence halls, and we would figure those differently than those who are just straight pay. We have students that have some billing dollars still owed to us, and we would have to do a subtraction from that number. But yes, we're working with a calculation, and we've informed students that we will have a separate billing for literally every student in the dorm, separate in that we have to analyze those various elements that I just mentioned.
At one point, there were some 37 EMU students quarantined after traveling abroad. What is their status of today?
Well, their time period is mostly up. We've had a few that were not in. The very first group was a group in Italy. We had some students that came back, for example, from South Korea. Their timeline would have been a little longer. They came back a little later. Most of them, if not all of them now, if they are still self-quarantining, are at home.
Our conversation with Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith continues on 89.1 WEMU. The end of the semester is not all that far away, and that means registration for summer classes right around the corner. How can you possibly plan for summer instruction given all the unknowns today?
It's a great question. We saw the University of Michigan announce that they're going to do their summers online. Their summer formats will go online. We're discussing that. I have a meeting with the faculty leadership telephonically later this week to talk about that. We've had discussions of, do you do summer A, our earlier semester, online, and move the courses that we think might be better situated to in-person to summer B, or do we do what the University of Michigan did and just make a decision and say summer A and summer B will go to online? We're just not there yet. We need a few more days. So we did extend the summer A and B registration time, although we're still registering for fall.
Either way, we're going to have changes on campus, and that comes back to your communications with the unions on campus. Are all of these changes going to result in the need for contract amendments?
We're not sure of that. We've seen it around the country. Some unions are doing it with simple MOUs. Some do want to do some contract reconfiguration. I have to say, David, that our union partners have been phenomenal to deal with, and we try to keep that line of communication open to them every day. As you've seen as a university employee, we put out a memo every afternoon with the latest details, as fluid as they are, and we're making follow-up calls with the union presidents and trying to get as much information shared, both from their perspective and ours.
So given all the fluid nature of the situation today and the CFO working on a constant basis to try and figure out what is happening and what the potential is moving forward, what is the budgetary impact to Eastern Michigan University?
Well, obviously we had not planned on when we set out for this semester in early January, we didn't plan on doing housing and dining rebates. So we'll be looking at that. We are going to develop some credit options for students that might be a little more attractive to allow them to come back maybe in the fall with a few more dollars in their pocket if they come back to residence halls or they come back to dining. All of those are certainly costs that we did not anticipate. It's a very large number, but this is a crisis, and we're going to have to work through the crisis in the very best way we can. I've kept the Board of Regents, particularly the chair and vice chair, as updated as I can on these, and we'll continue to analyze them. As you said, the CFO and his team are really doing day in and day out analysis of this.
Once again, we're talking with Eastern Michigan University President James Smith. And as we wind our time down together, Dr. Smith, I want to touch on the more personal. I imagine that watching the hardships this crisis is inflicting on faculty, staff, and students, I'm sure it weighs on you. Are people sharing their personal stories with you?
We do. And they're very heartwarming. Thanks for asking that, David. We have gotten some very nice notes from faculty and staff who said, you know, I never thought I would have to do this, but believe it or not, I registered my first student or did my first advising session totally online, or I did it with Hangouts, which is a technological capability that most of us haven't used in the past, where it has See You, See Me camera abilities, and those are heartwarming. We've had people from our nursing field that have been on local television, local radio. You did a forum about a week ago where one of our faculty in the College of Health and Human Services appeared, and those are all very, very positive because it informs the community for our best knowledge out there and gives them that best knowledge out there.
And our final question, and then we'll part ways for the morning. Talking about the positive, as you observe what is happening with the online classes, the manner in which faculty, staff, and students endure and adapt, what can be learned from this time of crisis that you can carry forward as the leader of Eastern Michigan University in the post-COVID-19 pandemic era?
Well, the one that I think of most often is folks that have been teaching a long time. I've been doing higher education since the early 1980s, so that tells you I've been in this business a long, long time. Some of us who thought we could never do an online course might now say, you know, I think I could probably help out some students and do that online class next summer A or summer B, because those are very desirable for our students who work, particularly in the summer. So I think we'll see some changes in what courses that we thought maybe never could have been done online that may now be. And the last one that I would say that's informing all of us is that the more we work with our colleagues, the more we work with our students, the more we understand their situation, the better we understand our university. And when we say we're going to close the residence halls, we know that we can't just do that. We have to listen to our students who have no other place to go. And the more empathetic we are, the more we listen, the more we hear and internalize, I think the better we'll be as a university going forward.
Dr. Smith, I imagine that more changes are coming, perhaps before the end of the day. So let's stay in touch. But I do thank you for the time and the conversation today.
My pleasure, David. And thank you for the good work. Thank you for all who are at Team WEMU for informing the public and keeping us updated on this, as you said, very fluid situation.
That is Eastern Michigan University President Dr. James Smith. You can follow all of the changes taking place on campus and for students, faculty, and staff at emich.edu. You will find links to that information and a comprehensive look at how the coronavirus outbreak is affecting us in Washtenaw County, the state of Michigan, throughout the country and world by visiting our coronavirus landing spot at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU.